Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the fifth Sunday of the year.
In a recent TV debate broadcast worldwide by the BBC, over 87% of a huge audience rejected the motion that the Catholic Church was a force for good in the world. To someone who knows a bit about history, this sounds preposterous. And yet, we fail to make our case. Our Lord says today in the Gospel, "Let your light shine before men, so that seeing your good works, they may give praise to your Father in heaven." Are we letting the light shine that has come from the Catholic faith? A very important vehicle for evangelization is the presenting of the fruits of the faith. To show, even from a non-faith perspective, that the Church has been the soul of the world. And that when you take her contribution to civilization away, there's not much left. And without her influence, there's a danger of descending to a new kind of dark age. I got interested in this area when I began analysing the writings and speeches of anti-Catholic polemicists such as Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens and Stephen Fry. To discredit the faith, they tend to show the faults, the weaknesses and the incapacity of religion to do good and its propensity to do evil. Now, it's not surprising that in a history of 2,000 years there will be faults and flaws, sins and sinners, mistakes and abuses, cockle and the wheat together. But these deeds of darkness are the exceptions that prove the rule. They are unusual against a vast backdrop of light. Our challenge, I believe, is to show forth the truth that Christianity is the greatest good in the world and the foundation of almost everything we value. Of course, we need to apologize for the errors, and that's also unusual in the world today. The Catholic faith is able to say sorry. Our world in which we live permits everything but forgives nothing. But we have to show that these errors are not the whole story. In fact, we are presented with a vast array of good. Let me give you some examples. Did you know that the Catholic Church is the largest charitable organization on the planet, giving relief and comfort to millions more than any other institution? It was the Church that gave the world hospitals. No sooner had Christianity been legalized than in 325 AD it mandated that in every city of the empire hospitals were to be built. This revolutionized the whole empire and the world eventually. Historically, it was the Church that preserved the precious inheritance of the ancient world, the Latin and Greek culture. It preserved, especially through the monasteries, the great manuscripts, the buildings, the ideas, but not only preserved, but cultivated things in a new and ever more brilliant way. One only needs to think of all the great foods and drinks that have come through the feasts of the Church, from hot cross buns to Chartreuse liqueur, from the beers of the Trappist monasteries of Belgium to the great wines of the New World that arrived there through the need to have the Mass. There were no vines in South America. It was the Church that gave us the liberal arts and the sciences. It was the Church that founded the universities. Think of Oxford, Cambridge, Paris, Bologna. These were ecclesiastical establishments, the whole system founded by the Church to unite the whole of Europe together long before the EU. In the areas of knowledge, it is the Church that educates more individuals than any other body. Often you hear the myth that the Church is anti-science. And yet so many of the great scientists, founders of whole fields, have been devout Catholics and Christians. Think of Roger Boscovitz. I believe Croatia's going to devote a whole year in his honour. He was a priest who invented field theory. He's on their banknotes. Gregor Mendel, the Augustinian friar, is basically the father of genetics, which was brought to its completion in many ways by the mapping of the human genome under the devout Christian Francis Collins. The inventor of the Big Bang Theory was a priest, Monsignor Georges Lemaître. And is it surprising that Christians have been great scientists? No. If we believe the world comes forth from intelligence, is shot through with intelligence, and we can make sense of the world because we have minds. it's not surprising that we would be interested in studying the world. Christianity gives us a wonderful environment for science. And not just for male scientists, there have been great female figures. In the 15th century, Dorothea Bucher, she already held a chair in the University of Bologna. And Maria Agnese was the first female doctor of mathematics in the world in the 1700s, an honour bestowed by a pope. Don't let anybody ever say that the church is anti-women. How could it be with the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the honour that she's afforded? What about the cultural riches that we enjoy? Our art, from the simplicity and beauty of the art of the catacombs to the medieval genius of Giotto and Fra Angelico, to the glory of Michelangelo and the striking realism of a Caravaggio, Catholicism has breathed soul into art. And the church fought long and hard to defend the principle that the sacred, that the holy could be depicted, that the human face could be sketched in art. There are many philosophies, indeed religions, even now and in the past, that tried to defeat this principle. But the church argued that the Son of God had become flesh, and now we can see the face of God. This gave license to the development of Western and indeed Eastern art. What about music? Well, even the very notation, the language of music, was invented by a monk, Guido of Arezzo. From the Gregorian chant to sacred polyphony, Western civilization was forged in the crucible of song. And we owe so many of the great choral traditions that we enjoy and the classical traditions to church music. And it's not surprising because Jesus sang, because St. Paul says, sing hymns in your hearts. And St. Augustine said, he who sings prays twice. In poetry, did you know that the first poems in the English language were written by monks? Think of the Hymn of Caedmon, or Beowulf itself, or the Dream of the Rood. Catholicism was the catalyst for the forging of a common English language and identity, as mapped out in the writings of the Venerable Bede. Catholicism believes in communication and the Holy Scriptures, and it's invented whole languages. I think of Church Slavonic, which is the basis for the Slavic languages, was given through two missionary priests, Saint Methodius and Saint Cyril. It was the church that produced those fabulous manuscripts that we adore from Lindisfarne or the Book of Kells. It invented the printing press, and the first ever book printed, the Catholic Bible. In literature, is not our great William Shakespeare so thoroughly shot through with a Catholic world vision? Why, for instance, are Evelyn Waugh and G.K. Chesterton held up as some of the greatest writers of our time? They had a Catholic imagination. Interestingly, Graham Greene, the Catholic writer, commented that it was the perspective of eternity and time, hell and heaven, that made the stories and persons of his novels worthwhile. He said that the characters of modern secular writers wandered about like cardboard symbols through a world that is paper thin. J.R.R. Tolkien, whose Lord of the Rings was voted the most popular book of the 20th century, was a deeply devout man. In fact, the two hidden loves of his life that fired his imagination were the Eucharist and Our Lady, upon which he says, "All my own small perception of beauty, both in majesty and simplicity, is founded." Why do you think the Narnia stories have stood the test of time and are still loved 70 years later? It's because of C.S. Lewis's deep Christianity. And with architecture, my parish is in Ramsgate. I can't not mention Augustus Welby Puging, God's architect. In the 19th century, he looked around our great country and saw in every town, in every city, gems of architectural magnificence. And he asked the question, what civilization produced these wonders? And he realized that they were produced for the mass. It led him stage by stage to the Catholic faith. It was he who designed much of our Houses of Parliament. But perhaps the greatest contribution that has come through the church to civilization has been in the ideas that we hold dear, the unchanging nature of moral truth, the importance of social justice, equity before the law. the centrality of the family at the heart of society, for the protection of mother and child, the dignity of marriage, and the priceless value of every human person created in the image of God, irreducible to mere matter, the person as spiritual, as responsible, as free. If we think we can imagine our country without the faith, we are mistaken. We rely upon these concepts, these presuppositions, these presumptions, which only have a stable foundation within Christianity. These things will disappear like water escaping from our hands without faith. To borrow from Shakespeare, untune that string and hark what discord follows. You can no more take the church out of the world than the soul out of the body. We know what happens if you do. Even the time in which we locate ourselves in the universe, our calendar and our years, comes to us from the incarnation, the moment goodness entered into a brutal world of never-ending cycles, giving meaning to every moment, every action. Anno Domini doesn't mean after Christ, it means the year of the Lord, because he lives, and he shapes time and gives meaning to it. It is in the Mass that we find ourselves at the centre of all things, because he is here. And all this light that we've spoken about comes forth from the Mass, because it's here that we realize our true values. The Mass is the beating heart of the world, the derided Mass, the Mass neglected, the scorned Mass, the Mass written off, the Mass treated trivially. It's here that the greatest fires, not only of faith, but of life, of culture, beauty and hope have been lit. This is the soul of the world. I'll leave you with the words of that very devout man who knew the meaning of culture and faith, J.R.R. Tolkien. He wrote before his own death to his son, "Out of the darkness of my own life, so much frustrated, I put before you the one thing to love on earth, the Blessed Sacrament. There you will find romance, glory, honour, fidelity, and sacrifice, the true way of all your loves upon earth."
May your love be upon us, O Lord. May your love.